You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
From the Palmetto Swamps to the Piney Woods, to the Oak Flats, you're listening to the Louisiana Bowhunter Podcast. Come on.
You're listening to the Louisiana Bowhunter Podcast, presented by Scree Gear, and deer season is over. Obviously, been over now for a month, but turkey season is right around the corner. Turkey season is actually opening up in our neighboring state of Mississippi next week, or actually in 2 days, I'm sorry. And it'll be opening up here for youth in about 10 or 12 days, and then of course, the season opener here in Louisiana is April the 1st. And if you're looking for spring turkey gear, Scree has some fantastic turkey bundles on their site. They got a great deal on what they call the Turkey Elite Starter Bundle. It is a base layer set, a pant, a shirt, and headgear, gloves, camo. Basically, it's a full set of camo, everything you would need for turkey hunting. And lightweight gear, but has some layers to it as well. So for cool mornings and warm days, it would cover you. I think you can get that entire turkey bundle for about $375 with a lifetime warranty. And that is a fantastic value. That is a fantastic deal. And their Summit pattern, if you haven't seen it, I'm sure if you listen to this podcast, you've probably seen it by now in some fashion, but their Summit camouflage pattern is absolutely dynamite in the spring turkey woods, and I would highly encourage you to get out there and check that out if you're looking for some turkey gear for this spring. And the great thing is that turkey bundle will transition into a great early bow season set as well, and kind of be the start off and of kind of getting into performance gear and building a layering system. So check them out, ScreeGear.com. All the common social media sites, YouTube channel, find out more about the gear, and shop online at ScreeGear.com. So, Colin is here with me. What's up, Colin?
What's going on?
And, we've been slacking. we never even really finished off the season. I think when was our last episode? Like mid to late January? I think it was middle of January. So
yeah, something like that.
So mid-January, we typically carry the podcast.
Late January. Slade was our last guest.
Okay. So we typically carry the podcast all the way into to February 15th when the season closes statewide. There's some areas in our state, as you probably know, that have an archery season that goes till those last 2 weeks of February, or those first 2 weeks of February, or the last 2 weeks of the season. Most of the state closes on the 31st. But this year, we never finished that schedule. All of our own personal schedules got really busy, and we just kind of dropped the ball. So now here we are, and it's about a month, almost a month to the day, from the season closing, completely closing. And I'm curious to know your thoughts, Colin, about with a month of separation, what are your thoughts about the 2022-2023 deer season?
Well, I didn't kill anything. make that face.
Just start this off by saying.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't kill anything, but I mean, it was a fun season. I definitely hunted more between hunting and filming. I sat in a tree more this year than I ever have. I think I counted just in the month of November and December, I made like 56 sits or something, which was like absolutely crazy. So a lot of time in a tree, you know, learned a lot, and I'm looking forward to next season. I mean, for me, it's like get kind of to the end of the season and the thoughts kind of start slipping in. You're like, I'm kind of ready for it to be over with, you know, like kind of tired. Well, then as soon as it's over, you start to miss it. So,
yeah,
that's kind of, I guess, kind of what's going on right now.
Yeah. Well, I've always been such a big turkey hunter that by the time I got to that phase of separation from the season, I was, you know,
changed
so
years.
Yeah, between baseball and I mean, I've obviously been involved with baseball for a long time and most of my life, and between baseball and turkey hunting, I've never had to deal with that, because by the time I got past that, it is kind of a sigh of relief, especially as a bow hunter, because, you know, bow hunting all year takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of mental effort.
Yep.
And you are kind of you hate to see it go, but kind of a sigh of relief. By the time that wears off for me, I've always been, you know, busy in the spring with turkey hunting and other things. So I haven't had that. I didn't have a good season. I didn't kill anything either. So this hunting podcast is very well represented here. So we wrap up. We didn't even kill a damn doe between the two of them.
Well, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't have.
Yeah.
That wasn't on the target list for me anyway. So
I know. I'm just saying. That's yeah. Like, but
we're going to starve now.
Yeah. Well, my kid killed deer, and I got a deer from somebody else, so I have enough deer meat. Well, almost enough, but I missed a deer with my bow, and that's the first deer I've missed. And I've thought about it since it happened, and I don't remember the last deer I missed with a bow. The last one I can remember for sure that I missed with a bow is 2006 or 7, maybe 8, maybe.
Over 10 years.
Yeah, at least. I'm trying to think if there was one. I missed one in Kansas 1 year, and that was at least 12 years ago. It was the first time I ever hunted in Kansas. And then I missed one in Mississippi, the only velvet deer I've ever shot at, on October the 5th in full velvet, and I missed him at 18 yards. And he scored 150 inches or something. And I know that because the neighbor killed him later.
Dang.
Yeah, or something, 140. He was really big. Yeah, it was a freak. I mean, it was $6 in a bachelor group on October the 5th. All of them completely hard-horned, like it was the middle of the season, and this one biggest, by far biggest deer in the whole thing is like perfectly beautiful full velvet, and I just freaked out and missed him at 18 yards. I don't know, but anyway, I don't even know what happened on this deer. I kind of know what happened. I mean, I wasn't nervous at all. Honest, I mean, it was nothing like that. It was, the deer was cruising, and it was in December, and it was, I don't know, I'm going to say 30 minutes, but it might have been more like 15 minutes until dark. It was still plenty of daylight, but it was that twilight. It was getting dark. And he come cruising through this hardwood bottom, and he made this big kind of half circle, and he was walking straight to me, but he was paralleling this thick area where basically he was doing exactly what the stand was there for, because they can only cut through here in one place. And we've talked about this on the podcast before. My property had a lot of tornado damage during Hurricane Ida, and there are corridors in the hardwoods now where there's so many big treetops down, the deer can really, I mean, it really makes for funnels. And yep. I'm hunting on one of them where if they pass through this hardwood area, they kind of have, there's only like two or three spots they can really, without going through a treetop. And so he's walking straight to me, and when he gets at like 20 yards, he's basically got to make a, he's going almost 90 degrees to his right, my left, to go through this little travel area between a ditch, creek, and a big thick laydown, where several big laydowns made a thick area in the hardwoods. And when he turned left and started walking broadside to me, he's like 20 yards, and I drew back in anticipation of a spot where he might stop. And honestly, looking back on it, I don't know why I thought he would stop there, because he hadn't stopped the whole time, you know. But for some reason, I had it in my mind, I'm going to shoot him right there, and he just walked right through that. And so when he walked right through that, then I kind of realized my mind started speeding up, because now he's only, I mean, if he keeps walking, he's only got another 10 or 15 yards, and I'm not going to get a shot at him, or he's going to turn and start going straight away from me to my left, and then I'm not going to have a shot at him. So then I started kind of getting frantic for him to stop, and I don't like to stop deer. Like, I don't like to, and stop them and alert them and then shoot them, because I have the theory that's well proven, in my opinion, you know, what I've witnessed personally. If I alert a deer and then I shoot him, they run a lot further and a lot harder than if he just stops naturally and I get a shot and I just shoot him and he don't even know what happens. Most of the time, if you make a good shot, now if you shoot him in the leg or something, that's different. But if you shoot him through the vitals, they'll run. They won't run that hard. They'll run a little ways and kind of stop and slow down. Like, what the hell just happened? And then when that happens, that body cavity really opens up or starts filling up with blood, or a lot of things happen. And I've typically have had good success, and not, you know, like most people in Louisiana, it's probably thick as hell where you are too. At least somewhere close to you is thick as hell if you're not in it, you know. And I don't want them to run like that. So everything just kind of sped up, and then and I'm getting to the point of like, I'm going to have to stop him in that next open. And he stopped like all of a sudden in a spot. And I'm like, there it is. And I put it on him, and I think I just, I didn't really rush it. I just kind of pulled up through it. I hurried it more than rushed it, if that makes any sense at all. But I just, you know, I'll say this. My mind was sped up, and I was thinking about a bunch of things. Like, do I stop him here? Do I let him? He's got two or three more openings through the woods where if he'll stop in any of them, I'll get a shot at him. And then it's kind of a do or die. I've got to stop him at some point, or he's going to walk away, completely away from any shot opportunity. And so I'm trying to decide, make up my mind, and then in the middle of all that, of course, all this is unfolding quickly, but he just stops, and he's in an open. And so I put my pin on him, and I knew exactly how far he was. But when I shot, I mean, I shot right over his back, but I remember when I shot, the release didn't feel clean. I think I pulled up. Like, I got down on him, I hurried it, or I just pulled through the shot. I pulled up. I know I felt it. Like, I knew before the arrow got to him that it wasn't a good shot. And it was perfect left and right. It was just right over his back. And anyway, that's about the highlight of my season. So thanks for listening to the Louisiana Bowhunter podcast.
And then, well, I guess, was it the hunt I filmed you in Slaughter? Was that your last hunt?
The horse hunt?
Yeah.
That's probably was. No, it wasn't. Well, I hunted in Mississippi a few times at the end of the season, including I hunted in Mississippi a couple of times, like the last weekend, the 30th, 31st, which I think was the weekend after you filmed me in Slaughter. We went during the week, and I think I went down to the camp in Mississippi and hunted. So just, I don't know, man. It was just a bad, I mean, just a, we, you know, so season started off great. My son kills two deer in Kansas in October. And everything that we had done during the summer and my trip up there in October led me to believe it was going to be an awesome trip back in November. There were deer everywhere. We had just tons of deer on camera. Like 20.
You would have just never thought that.
Never.
We're going to go up to southeast Kansas and hunt for like 10 days.
9 days
in November, and we're not even going to see but one.
And not only that,
mature
but
deer.
Not only that, but we had four cell cams running, and between those four cell cams, we had, I don't even know, 25 shooters.
Yeah, I mean, it was
like regularly from August until even while we were there.
This was
night.
Scattered over like what, four farms, three farms, something
three
like
farms,
that?
Three farms.
Yeah.
Scattered, I mean, over scattered over three farms. Well, it was three farms, but really it was just two. I mean, there was the place where we were staying. There was property at the cabin where we were staying. We didn't have any cameras on it, and we only hunted it like once. But the two farms we had cameras on that we hunted primarily, we had 20, I don't know. I can't, I mean, that one spot, there was one spot we had that was kind of a creek crossing spot. And we put it, and I mean, we had a different shooter every day for like 2 weeks show up on that. And then they, most of them, and some of these, of these 25 shooters, we got pictures of every one of them on multiple occasions. And some of them, we got pictures of them every single day for 3 months. Daylight, dark, everything.
I mean, we just kind of, that spot, when we were there, we kind of figured it out, you know, that. You know, all the big timber was on the other property. So it kind of made it, and with the wind, it just kind of made it, although we were getting pictures of a lot of deer, it made it kind of hard to hunt.
Well, the
never really worked out.
The underlying problem for us was the weather was terrible. And when you hunt property the way we're hunting traveling deer. You know, they're there and they use the property, yes. But they're very food dependent in a lot of ways, and when all of the primary food source is across the creek from you and they're not cruising at all, then
and the bedding's across the creek.
And the bedding and the primary food's across the creek, that's still a great travel corridor, but you've got to have the weather and rut activity coinciding to where they're actually traveling in the daylight. Otherwise, they're just going bed to food, and during the night sometimes they're using that crossing and still getting pictures of them. Basically, it was in the 70s with a south wind 7 of the 9 days we were there, and it only got below 50 degrees once, and it was for 24 hours. It wasn't even that cold for 24 hours. It basically rained all day one day, and the wind blew really hard, and it got cool, and it was cold like 38, 40 degrees the next morning, and it warmed right back up during the middle of the day to 70. And it just was no rut activity. Like, we had another trail camera running, cellular camera running, and, you know, our friend that was hunting with us, he was hunting on the other farms, and he saw a couple shooters, but he didn't have the creek situation, and he was right in the middle of the property, and he was hunting a feed site. You know, he was hunting in a place where he was seeing deer that were feeding, and so he saw a few shooters. And, of course, that time of the year, if you get multiple deer feeding in one area, yeah, they're going to bump each other around and all that. But we didn't see any rut activity from November the 2nd to November the 11th. We didn't see any rut activity, really. That one, we saw one shooter from a tree stand in 9 days, and it was a deer we had never taken a picture of. And he was out there, and he was an absolute giant. But he was like 70 yards, and he was out there messing with a doe right before dark in a bean field. And it was a random wind shifted. We don't really know how to hunt, so let's just go down the edge of this field and climb up on the edge of this field and hope if a buck maybe cruises the edge of this field looking for a doe tonight. And he did.
Yeah, I mean,
and he came out in the field. But, I mean, it was just crazy. I mean, it was just, you know, I've never hunted. Honestly, I've never hunted in the Midwest that time of the year that long, and had that much consistent weather of any kind, and it just happened to be the worst weather consistently for 9 days. And, of course, the day we left, it got freezing ass cold for like a week. Yep. So, but it was just...
wasn't meant to be.
But the home season was that way. We had that stupid cold front right the week of Christmas, the days leading up and through Christmas, and then it never got cold again. You know?
Nope.
I know that there were, there's always, we live in the South, there's good deer hunting everywhere. People, and when you have a community the size of ours and you have people contributing to it, and then you have social media where people can see everything that's going on all around, then people kill deer. They're always going to. And there were a lot of good deer killed in the state. A lot of good deer throughout the Louisiana bow hunter community were killed this year. But, I just don't, I'm not, it wasn't a good, I didn't think it was a good season. I did not enjoy my deer season at all. It was difficult, on the weather. It was difficult on the deer. I'm willing to accept that part of it. That's just how it goes. Sometimes it just ain't your year. I just, never found myself in the right spot when I got an opportunity. And granted, the opportunity I got, it wasn't like one of the big deer that I had been after all season. It was a nice buck. It was a mature buck, but it wasn't a huge buck. And it was, it was just a fleeting moment. I only really had a handful of hunts where I saw a good deer and it was exciting. Most of the time it was just a grind with no real results at the end of it.
Yeah. I mean, if you think back, just from, us running the socials and all that, I mean, man, we had that little cool front kind of come through in October where it was cool. And I mean, October, from what we saw in the community, I mean, October, it was like every day it seemed like somebody was sending in like a nice deer, multiple deer on the weekends. We couldn't even hardly keep up posting all the nice deer that were killed early in the season. And then late in the season, I mean, it slowed down to basically a complete halt. I mean, there was a few, Jeff Kane, he killed a nice one in the late season, but I think it definitely slowed down.
Yeah, it seemed like it did. I don't know. Like I said, when you have as much hunting and as much good hunting across an entire state, across an entire region of the Southeast, you're inevitably going to see and hear stories about people who have killed amazing deer and had great seasons. It's going to happen no matter what. But broadly speaking, as a majority, I will continue, I continue to believe it is so weather dependent. The consistency of having good hunts, and not just killing deer, but having good hunts and staying on deer and being able to do all those things, is so completely weather dependent. And when in the South, when we have warm, humid falls and we don't get a lot of cold weather, it makes for harder hunting. And I think that, I think that's, I know for myself and for a lot of people that I know, that's kind of been the story was kind of the story of this season. So,
yep.
So it is what it is. Where we're at right now, springtime, and we wanted to do a final episode to kind of put a wrap on things and talk about some things and share some things and kind of get some stuff out there as we move forward into 2023. And kind of the first thing I want to share is this is the first year we're actually going to have a booth at the Louisiana Sportsman Show this weekend. It's the March 17th through 19th at the Lamar Dixon. I'm sure a lot of you have attended that show. It's been probably the biggest outdoor expo event in the state of Louisiana for a very long time. And Louisiana Bowhunter has had a presence there in the past, but not for many years. And we're actually going to have a booth tied right next to our friend Scree. And, so we're going to be right there together. There's going to be a Scree booth there where you can check out their gear, try it on, get great deals, show specials, all kind of stuff. And we're going to do just big-time show pricing on all Louisiana Bowhunter merchandise. We want to sell out, as much of what we have left on hand so that we can get ready to bring some new stuff for 2023, new designs, new types of gear, new all kind of stuff. So want to invite people to come this weekend and check us out. And if you've never been, it's a pretty cool show. They have a lot of different things going on there aside from just the vendor booths and all that. They got lots of food and you have archery shoot, and I don't know if they have an archery shoot this year, but they have all kind of different things, speakers and all kind of stuff going. It's great fun for the family. If you've never attended one of these, they're great fun events, and so we'll be in booth 2309, easy to find, really close to the main front entrance of that part of the show where all the vendor booths are. So hope you'll come by and check it out, get a good deal on some Louisiana Bowhunter merchandise. Go right next door and check out Scree if you've never. I know you hear us talking about it. They're the title sponsor of the podcast, but if you've never had a chance to put your hands on it, you'll be able to. Their booth is set up where it's got a changing room and all that, so you can try it all on. You can get great deals ordering at the show with Scree. So that's exciting, and that as this podcast drops, that's this weekend, March 17th through 19th, at the Lamar Dixon down in Gonzales, Louisiana. So make sure you check that out. And kind of our final thing here, we've talked and teased about our Louisiana Bowhunter film contest all season. We told you we were going to do it. We've been like some other things. Unfortunately, we're going to get better at this, but we've kind of been slacked on getting information out on that. But we are still doing it, and I can announce to you here kind of what we're going to do. So we're going to walk through this real quick. So we're gonna have two winners, so to speak. We're gonna have first place winner, and we're gonna have a runner up in the deciding part of that. So basically, the winner is gonna receive a gear bundle from Scree, a Buzzard Roost saddle, and a Louisiana Bowhunter gear package. The runner up will receive just a Louisiana Bowhunter gear package. Everybody that submits into the contest will have their video featured on the Louisiana Bowhunter YouTube, and with credit to the producers of the film. So this is our maiden voyage on this. It's something that we want to do not only to just celebrate hunting in Louisiana, but Louisiana hunters, because, if you'll go back and listen to one of our previous episodes with Hunter Brown, where we talked all about the film contest and what it was going to be all about, and all of that kind of stuff. You can hear, that was episode 91, called Show Us Your Hunt with Hunter Brown, if you want to go back and look at that. We talked all about the rules and how it's going to be judged and all of that, and it's just a cool community engagement thing for us to do. So one part of this is an internet vote. So here's what we're going to do. This podcast is dropping on March 14th. We'll start putting out information on our website, our email newsletter, our social media pages, and everything about how to submit. That will be done via email. You'll probably have to use Google Drive or Dropbox or something like that to share a large file to us. But you'll send it to info@ LouisianaBowhunter.com. We'll need your name, contact information, city or town and parish that you're from, and any kind of preferred, if you have a title of your film, that would be great as well. Submit that to us. We will in turn send you a media release form, because you'll have to give us access to use your film on our YouTube channel. And once you've done that, we'll upload that to a playlist on the Louisiana Bowhunter YouTube channel. So between now, March the 14th, and the submission due date is going to be midnight on March the 31st. So between now and March the 31st, we'll be uploading submissions that are sent to us to the site. You can start watching them then. On the morning of April the 1st, we will put up internet voting. So we'll have a poll on the homepage of our website. We'll also have a poll running on the Louisiana Bowhunter community page. And that's where we'll tally those votes. And that vote on those polls will run all weekend. April 1st is a Saturday, so Saturday and Sunday. At midnight on April the 2nd, We will tally the votes and shut down the internet voting, and we will review the scorecards on Monday, and we'll announce a winner on April the 3rd. And that is the basics of it. When we start posting things tomorrow, we will post information on how to enter, and we'll also post information on the website and our social media on the rules of the contest, where you'll basic rules and regulations. And again, if you go back and listen to episode 91 of our podcast, we talked all about how the contest was going to run. We are not putting a lot of rules on this. I mean, there's really not a lot of rules. We want you to be completely creative. There's a few things that we have to do, and basically what it comes down to is you can't break the law in your film. You can't break the law. You can't use copyrighted music because we can't use it on YouTube if you use copyrighted music, so we won't be able to take a submission with that. So in other words, you can't, like, if you don't know, there's royalty-free music all over the internet that you can download and use. Copyrighted music is basically anything from an artist that you like. Your favorite song, your favorite song from anybody. Some country artist may have the greatest lyrics that just match what you think is the feel of your video perfect, but I'm sorry, you can't use it unless you pay them. And I don't think anybody's doing that in a small hunting film contest. So, and if you do, and we post it on YouTube, we'll get banned. We'll get flagged and all kind of stuff like that. So, you know, we're not going to take high fence hunts. We'll take it. We'll take the hunt film. We'll use it and show it on our YouTube if you want your content featured. If it's a high fence in the state of Louisiana and you're doing everything legal, I'm fine with that. But we talked about this in length. It's free as far as being considered in the judging for the contest. It's fair chase only, no high fence. Is there anything else, Colin, that we can kind of mention? Well, again, we're going to post something that has an outline of rules and regulations as well as submission info. But was there anything else that's worth mentioning here?
I don't think so. Two places will win. First place, second place. Submissions due March 31st. We'll open the polls on the 1st and the 2nd, and we'll announce the winner on the 3rd.
And yeah, so if you don't remember, basically it'll be a 4-point vote type deal where Colin, myself, and Levi will all vote on a winner and a runner-up, and the fan vote will be the fourth judge, so to speak. So it'll be a majority vote we'll decide on based on that kind of judging system. So, again, we don't know what we're going to get. One of you lucky people may be the only person that submits a video, and then you win by default, no matter how good it is. I don't know, but I know there's a lot of people that film their hunts. I know filming hunting is very popular. I mean, obviously, Colin and I do it for a living, and, you know, it's just become real popular. I mean, there's a whole company that has become a very popular, not popular, but successful company built around helping people buy hunting camera setups, like Campbell cameras. I know they do a lot more than just hunting, but they have, you know, it's so popular that they sell and have done very well marketing and selling packages of camera gear just for people to go out in the woods and film hunting. So I know there's people filming hunting. People have their own social media interest and YouTube interest. So you already got film. I know people are doing that and editing and producing film. So why not showcase your work with a large community here in the state and, you know, in doing so, have a chance to win. Probably it's about $1,200, $1,200 to $1,500 worth of gear in prizes. And if you are an aspiring YouTuber or digital content creator, it'd be a great way to get some of your work featured. We have a pretty big following at Louisiana Bowhunter. We get a lot of views. And we'll be sharing a lot of this stuff on our social media and driving people to view your film on our YouTube channel. So I just think it's a cool thing. What are your, you have any thoughts about it, Colin?
No, I mean, I hope, like I said, we talked a lot more about it in that episode with Hunter Brown, but hopefully it goes good. I mean, I hope we get a lot of entries, and you know, if it goes well, I mean, we briefly talked about maybe expanding it. We'll just have to see how it goes, but I just think it's a really cool thing.
Just trying to find ways to engage more with the community. Obviously, our primary interest is to grow Louisiana Bowhunter but you know, Louisiana Bowhunter is not, it is intended to be a community brand, you know, and so what better way to support that idea than to try to find a way to showcase other people in the community and other types of hunting. And that's one of the things that we talked about, hope is very well represented in this contest, is hopefully there's entries from lots of different parts of the state where you can see you know, hunting and styles and landscapes and all that kind of stuff. So
yep.
For me, I just like, you know, considering the season I had, just watching other people be successful.
We couldn't kill a deer, so maybe we'll just watch somebody else kill one.
Damn good thing we don't make a living doing this, isn't it? Yeah. It's a tough season, but I mean, that's...
We got some cool stuff lined up for next year, you know, already in the works.
Yeah, so for people that don't know me personally, I've gone to work for Scree full-time now. And so I'm really excited because that will, you know, help to continue that kind of partnership with Louisiana Bowhunter. But, you know, for me as a bowhunter, I'm going to get to do a lot more hunting. And Colin's involved as well with Scree's social media and stuff. And we're going to be doing a lot more hunting because we're tasked with creating a whole lot more content in-house for Scree. So we got a lot of stuff lined up. That's going to be fun. And I want to encourage you all as well, as we have kind of a new thing. We did some back during the fall, and just like this podcast, we kind of tailed off since the holidays, but we have a new podcast called the Scree Country Podcast, and I'm the host of it along with one of the owners of Scree, and we're working on a plan and a schedule, and going to be, you know, start recording more frequently this year. So I encourage people to check that out. It's we had some pretty cool guests in those first. I think we did 8 or 9 episodes to start off with. One of our guests was Roland Welker, if you're familiar with the Alone series. I don't know what channel that was. History Channel, maybe. It's one of the more... It's one of the more... What?
Yeah.
One of the more popular...
It's either History or Discovery.
Yeah, one of those things. But anyway, but you can stream it on Netflix now. But Alone is one of the most popular backcountry survival reality shows. It's real.
Crazy.
It's real. Like, I know a lot of those shows are real in terms of the people go through a lot, and they're real survival experts that get in on these reality shows. But Alone is self-filmed. They give these people cameras, and so it's not like the most the cinematography and all that kind of stuff for the show is not like top-notch, but it's real. Like, they get, as I understand it, the people get health checks, like, once a week. They have to come check on them, make sure they're alive, and they bring them new batteries and stuff like that, I guess. But they film the whole thing with GoPros and, like, little small handy cams, and it is crazy. And Roland Welker is the only, he's the winner of season 7, and he's the only person to ever make it 100 days on this show. And he did it in the Arctic, like, in the winter. Like, it's insane. Anyway, we interviewed him on the, he's like an ambassador for Scree. He does Alaskan backcountry adventure hunts as his job, and he's a Scree outfitter. But so we interviewed him, and he told the whole story, and he's a very interesting dude. So anyway, the Scree Country Podcast is a pretty neat venture that I'm doing with Scree. And if you like podcasts, you like outdoor podcasts, that podcast is going to be pretty wide in terms of scope. We're going to, you know, have guests for all kind of different things, like that guy talking about, you know, survival and legislation and biology and hunting stories and just everything. So that's kind of a cool thing that we have going on over there with that, if you're looking for a new podcast to add to your collection. As far as this year podcast, we've talked about a lot of things, and we don't have anything really planned out exactly. So we may do some episodes during the off season, but they won't be necessarily scheduled on a regular routine schedule. You know, we may, if we get the opportunity to have some content or a guest that throughout the off season, we may throw a pod. That's one of the great things about podcasts, is it's kind of just whatever the hell you want it to be, you know.
Yep.
And so I can see, you know, if we get a chance to do some archery discussion during turkey season, some bow fishing stuff during the summer. I mean, there's some things we can do, some 3D shooting podcasts and stuff. My son is shooting in his first ever archery tournament tomorrow at 1:30 over in maybe Port Allen or somewhere. He's shooting in like a 4-H state qualifier regional or something. So and there's a you know, 3D and tournament archery during the off season. So we might try to put some podcasts together, but our season, typically we start recording podcasts again around Labor Day. Things really start to tick up at that point. People are getting ready for October the 1st, and even some of those earlier seasons in mid September. And like you said, Colin, you start to miss it. And when it's July and it is so miserable outside, you're going to really miss it, because we complain about the weather. It doesn't get as cold as we want it to get. And then we get tired, and it's like, you know, the hunting becomes a grind. And kind of like my favorite saying has always been, but July is coming.
Yep.
Every time I complain.
Yeah. It's like, I know for me, you know, once the season ends, I like to get all my chores for the next season. I like to do it right when the season ends. It's still, you know, the weather's nice. Snakes aren't out. It's not all grown up everywhere. So, as soon as the season ends, I like to scout a lot, walk around a lot, and I like to do some of my chores and whatnot. That way you don't have to grind it out so hard in August when it's, you know, 102 degrees.
You know what I like to do? I like to say that I'm going to do that every year and then never do it and have to do it when it's 100 degrees. And every single year, I say the exact same thing. Man, in February, before the weather gets bad, I'm going to get out there and take care of all my tree stand stuff and scout for turkeys while I'm out there doing all this. And then I'm not going to have to do it in the heat. And then I don't do a damn bit of it. And then turkey season rolls around and I'm too busy turkey hunting when I am in the woods. And then before you know it, it's July and August and it's miserable and it's hot and I've got all kinds of shit to do and I'm in poison ivy and there's snakes. And
then you have to do it.
Then I have to do it.
Because the season's about to be here.
It happens every year and it's happening right now. And I work from home, where I have zero excuse. That's not fair.
Where you hunt 7 minutes away.
It's literally all I do is step out of my office and get on my side-by-side and ride back there. But in fairness, I have been traveling, working the expo and shows for Scree. We've been at ATA and Pennsylvania and Iowa Deer Classic and the NWTF National Convention and the SCI Convention, and now this weekend, and I coach high school baseball too, so that started up in January, and I have ball practice every afternoon and games, and so
I mean, that's why, I mean, not to make excuses, but that's why we kind of slacked off between your new job and my new job. We've probably been to, I don't know, 10 or 11 different states.
It's
just
been
in 2023,
it's been the busiest 2.5 months of my life. And I am a busy, busy person. I have been for a long time, and this might be the busiest 2.5 months. So, but I'm enjoying every minute of it. I'm enjoying it. Yep. I love being back in coaching and at least coaching, actually, you know, coaching ball and not just coaching kid babysitting.
Yep.
I enjoyed coaching young kids when my kids were young, but it was fun for what it was. But I'm enjoying back in, you know, at the varsity level. And I'm enjoying working with Scree and being able to go out, and I hope that we see the same thing this weekend at the Louisiana Sportsman Show, because it's really cool events, and you really can get some good deals. And like I said, unfortunately with just kind of the way we did things this year, and we're going to learn to do things better, but we had a lot of stuff come in late, really after people had already kind of done their fall buying and shopping. And so we got some pretty cool designs and stuff with it that we didn't get in till late, and they really haven't gotten out there. So we're going to have probably have some pretty cool stuff in the Louisiana Bowhunter booth that you might not have seen before because they weren't out there all fall. You know, they didn't get out in the stores that carry our stuff and stuff like that. So hope you guys will come by and check us out. And I really hope that hope we get some people to contribute and get involved in the film contest. It could be a lot of fun, and you know, be fun to see what all we get and what we can showcase out there on YouTube. So I guess that's really all we had for this episode. We just wanted to kind of wrap the season up. Like I said, we're going to try to find reasons to do a few podcasts during the off season and kind of stay engaged, and love to hear from you. If you got ideas for us about how the podcast could be better, or things you'd like to hear next season, or things you'd like for us to do at Louisiana Bowhunter. I know everybody wants us to bring back the Louisiana Bowhunter 3D shoot, and we are working on that. We don't have details. We don't have dates. I don't even know that it's going to be this year. But in the future, we are definitely going to try to do that. Maybe even do it more than once a year. I don't know. But that's definitely something we want to do. But we would love to get feedback. You can always email us at info@LouisianaBowhunter. You can message us on all the different social media channels, our main pages, and contribute to the Louisiana Bowhunter community as well. You know, stay in touch, and like I said, we'll continue to try to put some content out there and stay engaged with you guys, and hopefully you will get out and shoot your bow during the off season. Try to go kill a turkey with your bow. Do something. Stay engaged. I got a new bow.
I have one coming soon.
See my new bow right there? Colin can see
me. Oh, you got it in?
Yeah, it's hanging right there.
Sweet.
I'm shooting a bear. I guess that's something. I'm actually shooting the new Bear Execute this year. So I've been a Hoyt guy. I still love Hoyts. I love shooting my RX-7 this year, but I'm going to get rid of that and try out the Bear Execute 30. I was approached at the ATA show about shooting Bear basically asked me to shoot one of their bows as kind of part of a pro staff type deal. And so they sent me a bow, and I'm pretty excited about it. I shot it at ATA. I really wanted to feel it and make sure I liked it. I was comfortable with it before I just shot something just to say I was shooting it, you know. And I really liked it. It's a very good – I've never had a bear bow before. And so they've got a couple of new bows that are more of – the Execute is kind of their flagship Pro Series bow. And they got another one along that same line. They got an Execute 32, and then they got another one called a
the Legend XR?
The Whitetail Legend XR. That's one that's a pretty high end. And then they got another one that was the one they designed with the Adapt. Public. The Adapt. That one shoots, it's a solo cam. It shoots really good. So anyway, I got the Execute 30. Got it. I got that new Trophy Ridge Digital React. Have you seen that?
I've seen it, but I haven't obviously looked
so at it's like a if you know what the Trophy Ridge React site is, it's their single pin slider. Trophy Ridge's single pin slider, or all their slider design sites are called the React. Well, the Digital React actually has a digital display. I'm not even sure exactly how it works, But in, so instead of, like, I'm not sure exactly, I haven't set it up yet, so I'm not exactly sure how you set it up, all that. But basically what happens is you have a dial on the side, and it the dial turns and it slides the side up and down. But instead of having, like, a tape with a pin, you have a digital screen. So when you turn it, that digitally tells you what yardage you're at. And I don't know. I'm interested to try it out. It's kind of neat. So try that out. And the bow shoot's really good, so I'm excited about that. I think last thing to mention, we're just kind of going through some final things, last things here to wrap up this. But the giveaway, the Scree giveaway, you guys really need to know about this. So we leased 1,100 acres. Yeah. So Colin and I are doing a series. Colin and I, along with other people, other colleagues that we have at Scree and partners of Scree, we're doing a series called The Blueprint this year. Basically what that is the blueprint of acquiring a farm, managing it, and hunting it throughout the year. Everything that goes into that. We leased 1,100 acres in northeast Oklahoma. And we leased it from our friends at 180 Outdoors. I'm familiar with the property. I've hunted on it. I've filmed on it. Both of us have. And it is a fantastic place. Neither one of us have really been all over this 1,100, but we've hunted in different parts of it. And it's an awesome place. Well, we leased it through Scree. And we're doing an awesome giveaway, and you guys really need to sign up. So the giveaway is you're going to win an Extreme bundle, which is basically everything Scree makes. You're going to win a Bear Whitetail Legend Pro bow, completely rigged out with Trophy Ridge accessories and sick broadheads, 2 dozen Method arrows, which used to be called Vector arrows, and they just renamed themselves Method, and they're actually, it's a pretty cool custom arrow build. Go check them out. Like, you put in all your information, they recommend a certain shaft, they build it for you and send it to you built, cut, ready to go. It's pretty cool. So you'll get 2 dozen Method arrows, a Bear Whitetail Legend Pro XR, fully rigged out with Trophy Ridge accessories, an Extreme bundle from Scree, which is basically everything, almost everything they make. It's about a $2,000 bundle. A custom knife from Stroop Knives, a Cruiser hunting saddle setup, so basically a complete saddle setup from Cruiser, and an all-expenses-paid hunt with me and Colin on the 1,100 acres this fall in Oklahoma. And by all expenses, I mean your license, your food, everything but your travel. And if you're from here in Louisiana, you might can ride up there with me and Colin if you win it. but I mean, as far as the terms of the deal, you got to show up. But everything is paid for, and it's about $10,000 giveaway. And all you got to do is go to Scree and sign up. Go to ScreeGear.com. I don't know the exact URL, but you can find it if you go. We'll post a QR code. If you come to the booth this weekend at Louisiana Sportsman Show, or you go to the Scree booth at the World Deer Expo in Birmingham, or any of the Texas Trophy Hunters, any of these places, we have a big sign with a QR code. You scan that, takes you straight to the landing page. All you got to do is sign up for the Scree newsletter, email distribution list, and that gets you in. No purchase necessary. It's an amazing giveaway. So make sure you check that out. We'll make some posts on Louisiana Bowhunter about that this summer, so you can get signed up. And other than that, there's your update on everything that's going on in our world and what you can expect from us between now and next season. Try to get some new merchandise. Definitely got some ideas. Maybe get some stuff out this summer as well. But come by the Louisiana Sportsman Show. Check out our booth. Grab up some gear at some good prices. You got anything else, Colin, before we wrap it up?
No, that's it. Hope to see some of you guys this weekend.
Yep. Hope you'll come by. Like I said, stay in touch with us. Shoot us a message on social media. Email us at info@LouisianaBowhunter. We love hearing from people, good, bad, or otherwise. We want to know what kind of content you want to hear on this podcast, what kind of merchandise you'd like to see from Louisiana Bowhunter, all those kind of things. This is a community brand. It's meant for the community, so we want to hear what the community thinks. And we won't hear from you on a regular – you won't hear from us on a regular schedule for a while, but we will definitely be back on a regular schedule in September of 2023 and look for some episodes to drop between now and then. Come by and see us at the Louisiana Sportsman Show this weekend. And if you have you been filming, get your film together, enter the film contest. We hope you win. Can't wait to see your work. Thank you so much for listening to the Louisiana Bowhunter Podcast again this year, helping us make it successful. We greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Louisiana Bowhunter Podcast. If you have anybody you'd like to hear on the show, reach out to us at info@louisianabowhunter.com. And if you want to help support Louisiana Bowhunter, go by your local archery shop and pick up some merchandise. If you don't have any at your local shop, let us know and we'll reach out to them. Or pick up your gear at louisianabowhunter.com and we'll ship it out to you same day. See you next week.